What we normally do is just start with questions, or if you've got anything you'd like to ask or whatever, and then we'll just see where we go from there. So feel free. I mean, the others who are in the group is Regina and Waltraudt. They're both from Germany, and obviously you probably know Marjan. So and I'm Mike. So feel free if you would like to ask anything. Don't be shy.
Okay, I'll start. You've lately been talking about having things in our heart. I have two questions to that. You said we can only, what did you say, administer, accomplish what we have in our heart. And we get it either through scrolls or things given to us. Is Mike still there?
Yep.
Oh yeah, okay, because you're gone somehow here. So my questions are, is it always things that has to be given to us, or can we say, I would like to have this in my heart? And the second question, if it's a scroll, do we need to know what is written on it for it to be accomplished, or doesn't it matter? We just take it inside ourselves and it will accomplish what it should.
Okay. Right. Yeah, the desires of our heart need to flow out of the desire that God has for us, which is what He has within His thoughts for us. In Psalm 139, where it talks about the scroll or the book that's been written about our lives in eternity. And also it talks about the vast sum of the thoughts He has for us. And so our desires of our heart need to align up with the desires of His heart for us. And once we take those desires of that He has for us, whether it's on our scroll of destiny or whichever way you sort of look at it in terms of how you term it, once we are connected to that, then the desires of our heart begin to be released, and He says that He will fulfill the desires of our heart. And I found in my own life that there are certain things that I have connected to, that I was very comfortable with, that I was used to, around my own gift and who God had called me to be, my identity. That I was okay about. But God always wants us to fulfill greater things than the things that we're doing right now. So we're not just settlers, we're pioneers, and we're pressing into more. So there's an expansion of His government in us and through us. And in the Word of God, you know, in Isaiah, it talks about there's no end to the increase of His government. And that's actually in our lives, as well as through our lives, as well as throughout the whole of the universe and beyond. And so I found that when God wanted me to embrace something new, He had to get my attention. And a couple of times He's got my attention by showing me something in a realm of vision, or in an encounter in heaven. And one of those was where I was taken out in my spirit, you know, just like Ezekiel was picked up by the lock of his hair, and he was taken in his spirit to Jerusalem, and he was seeing things in the realm of the spirit. I was taken out into the solar system around the earth, until I could see the earth in front of me as a size of sort of a football. And I was always looking at it, you know, it wasn't spinning, it was actually sort of just in front of me, and I could see the configuration of USA and Europe and Africa, and I could see that in front of me, and I was watching and looking and thinking, I know what I should do here, but actually I don't really want to, which is not a very good place to be in when you're in those sort of visions. But I knew my heart needed changing. And so in the end, I accepted that, and I took the world and placed it within my heart spiritually. And as a result of that, my whole attitude towards that changed. And my desires towards reaching out to different people, different parts of the world, looking to engage with people, doing what I'm doing now, totally changed as a result of that encounter. Because I took into my heart something that was already part of my destiny, but it was something I wasn't connecting to or didn't want to connect to. And it as I was obedient and as I surrendered, really, then that allowed God to unveil that part of my destiny so that the desires of my heart were drawn towards it. And I began to be drawn towards being more proactive about reaching out, because up until that point I was fairly reactive and I would answer questions from people, and I had the forum that a couple of you were part of originally, that just responded to people's questions and that was it. And God, you know, really drew me towards being more proactive and reaching out to engage with people. And I didn't force that. I just did what he asked me to do, which was just making a public thing on the forum to say, God's asked me to be more proactive. If there's anyone else I can reach out to, or you know I can reach out to, then I will be willing to engage. And I had no real preconceived idea, just a willingness to be obedient. And God said that he would open all the doors that needed to be opened if I was obedient. And so that was really where that was in my heart, and it changed how I felt towards things. And I also felt that when I've been engaging with God in heaven around the ark in the tabernacle, one of the things is represented in the ark is three things. There's the manna, and there's the tablets, and there's the Aaron's rod that budded. The tablets, it says that God no longer writes things on tablets of stone, but he writes things on the tablets of our heart. And so I found as I began to draw near to him, and I got closer to him, and I began to allow that closeness, and technically, you know, you call it, it's called resonance, where a vibrating frequency of a major key, when you draw a minor key next to it, the whole major key, the minor key basically just comes into the same frequency. And so if you have a note and you play it on a tuning fork and you bring a less and minor note, then it will just change the note, which is just what happens. So as we draw near to God, we draw near to him in that spiritual realm to understand, okay, what is his will for our lives? And we start to look into that. It's like his voice vibrates at a certain frequency that begins to change how we vibrate to bring us into alignment. Or it's like his note and our notes come together to form a harmony, if you think of it in those terms. But what happens is that our heart starts to get changed, and so he starts to write things on our heart or reveal things that are already written within our heart so that they will start again to draw us and connect us to what it is that God's will is for us, and so the desires of our heart will align with the desires of his heart for us, and then he's got every right biblically to start fulfilling those desires. Can we ask him for things? I believe yes, because we wouldn't be asking unless they were things that were desires that were already within us. You know, and so I think in another way of asking would be, you know, to reveal to us more of those things that he has for us so we can begin to ask for them to be outworked within our hearts so our hearts will draw us towards them. And so that's a way of looking at it, but the closer we get to God, the more intimate we are with Him, the more likely it is in talking to Him and conversing with Him that He will begin to share with us those desires, and we'll find ourselves praying or asking or seeking those things that are really already His will for us, because our desire is we just want to know Him, and to know Him will be to know us better, because He knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden. There's nothing about us He doesn't already know. It's just, you know, when we pray sort of prayers, I think Psalm 139 is a really good chapter in to look at in terms of these sort of things, because it talks about, you know, before we were born and how we were born and how His involvement was with us and how He thinks about us and those type of things. It finishes off by saying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Now, you can look at that in a negative sense and say, okay, know my heart and know all the negative things in my heart that you need to heal, restore, transform, change. But you can also look at it from the positive sense and say, look, you know my heart, and I'm asking you to reveal to me what it is that you know about my heart from a positive sense. And where the things in my heart that are there according to my destiny, I want you to reveal them to me, because I want you to search my heart and show me. You know, so that's part of the process, I think, of intimacy, is that we become more heart to heart in relationship, and therefore there's a deeper intimacy and revelation that gets unveiled as we're closer to Him, and it begins to unveil and work out. So yeah, absolutely, I think we can ask those things, and we can begin to just ask Him to search our hearts and to reveal those things, and so that we can just outwork, and our desires will draw us towards the right things, because they're being directed from the inside out, from our spirit and the Holy Spirit, rather from the outside in which the world around us and our external needs have driven us and have directed our hearts. Those things will begin to be dealt with, and we then can be drawn to that which is there for our destiny, which is great. You know, it's an intimate relationship that God is really wanting from us, so that He can reveal those things anyway, and open our hearts to those things, and then we get drawn towards them. You know, and it does work. You know, it's like, you know, when I've done this several times, it has changed my heart. And you can contain people in your heart. You know, you can contain partners, your husband, wife. You know, you can contain your children within your heart. You can contain those things that are within your sphere of influence in terms of your kingdom authority. You can contain them, and you can, like, in your workplace, if you have a workplace, you can contain those people in your heart. And then that, in a sense, it's like we're in Christ and He's in us, but if we're in Him, other people are in Him and they're also in us, in those connections, in relationship. Therefore, we can have access to minister to them, to have insight into where their hearts are. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, I know what you're reasoning in your heart, because they were reasoning negative things. But in a positive sense, we can also be connected to people so that we can care for them, minister God's love and the kingdom around their lives, and call them into their destinies, and we can minister to them, because God may reveal things to us about their hearts that then we can share with them to help them move forward in the kingdom. And that's sort of how things begin to outwork. And so those people and those situations and things you carry in your hearts, you become more sensitive to the moving of the Spirit and to discern things that are going on, so that we can access and administer the kingdom to bring God's will and purposes to be outworked. But you know, most of us have just never really learned to do that, so we're trying to deal with relationships from an external perspective rather than an internal one, which often brings conflict and confrontation, because we're trying to deal with something that that's on the outside rather than, no, I carry that person there, so that gives me access to love them and to demonstrate love towards them, in which they find it easier to receive because it comes with a different spirit with it when it comes from that sort of perspective. So, yeah. Okay. Any other things you'd like to ask?
Yeah, connected to that, for me it's still not so much visual, so I get thoughts, so kind of sometimes I'm a bit frustrated still, but then I hold on what you have said, just process, but not to have it in so much visual things, then I sometimes don't know exactly where am I now. So especially when I go into the heavenly realm, I just do it by faith. And yeah. And concerning the things which God wants to bring into our hearts, back to the real question, in agreement with Him. So for me, it's still more sometimes that I get an impression and it feels very good. So should I just step out in faith then?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, when I say, you know, I saw this or I saw that, there's a mixture of ways in which that takes place. And really, it comes together in what I would call spiritual perception. So that my spirit is perceiving what it is that God wants me to receive. And sometimes that can be visual. In that when I had the vision of the world, it was a visual thing. You know, I could see it as a vision, a picture within my mind, within the sphere of my imagination, which is where God projects those visions to us. And again, you know, I think a lot of people do get confused or caught up with trying to see and it be almost like a first-person real vision, and often those things come, you know, at particular times. Particularly for me, it's usually again when God wants to move me to something new or He wants to reveal something new, I tend to get a vision or a real encounter with that, because it gets my attention generally. But we can perceive by thoughts that flow into our mind. God communicates to us by a flow, and that flow can be a flow of pictures, it can be a flow of thoughts, a flow of impressions, all to enable us to see, but not necessarily visually see, but to understand and perceive what it is He's trying to communicate to us. So He can speak to us. And that could be an audible voice, but very often we get it as a small, still voice within our heart. So we say, He's speaking to me, God spoke to me and He showed me this. Well, did He actually appear in front of me and say something so I heard it? Very, very rarely. Some people, it happens like that, and occasionally that can be. But generally what we mean is that God is, His thoughts are coming into my mind, into my heart, so that I perceive what He's trying to say. And so when I have a conversation with Him, if I'm sat with Him and we're in the garden of my heart, or I'm lying down in a green pasture and fellowshipping with Him, and I talk to Him, what I get coming back is a conversation in my mind. And we will have a conversation in which His voice will come as words into my mind, is as a two-way conversation. So I've learned to develop that process so that I can get a continual flow of conversation in which He speaks to me and I speak to Him and we're speaking to each other. Now, you know, everything happens within the context of your mind. That's where it all happens, whether you see, whether you hear naturally and see naturally. All the actual signals are interpreted within the brain, so that you visually see something, but the image is actually in that center of your brain that receives those signals. The same with hearing something. You have vibrations in the air that your ear picks up, translates it to the auditory nerve, goes into the brain, and you instantly recognize words or sounds, but they aren't actually words or sounds. They're vibrating frequencies that your ear to the brain has interpreted. We've just learnt to interpret those sounds as words or noises, and we've learnt to interpret the images that get into our mind as actually things that we're seeing. And that's how the brain works. The brain also works in the same way with our imagination, which is also a screen in which God can put information as an image or an impression or a feeling or an intuition, which flows to that area of the brain from within our spirit, so that our spirit is communicating to us. But it all gets interpreted. So whether you see or hear or feel or get an impression, the main thing at the end of the day is that you know what is it that God's trying to show you. And so rather than trying to strive for one or other, see what comes more naturally to each person. And then as you go with that and develop that, then more begins to actually flow. But the main thing is not whether I can see or whether I can hear, but whether I've actually received the revelation that God's wanting to bring to me. And so, you know, when it says, well, you know, I step into the realms of heaven by faith, God will always respond to that. And it's no less real because my spirit knows that there is an open heaven, that there's an invitation to come up here. And I can come up there. As I learn to do that more and more, it becomes more tuned to those senses so that I receive more clearly the impressions, or the perception is more clear. You know, and it does take some practice, and it takes some getting rid of the negative mindsets or the little things that would say, oh, you're just making it up, or it's not real, it's all in your head, all those things, which is what the enemy will try and do just to stop us engaging by trying to confuse us or make it appear that we're making it up or whatever. And the reality is we just have to learn to get over those negative mindsets to realize that God is really wanting to communicate with us. He really wants a relationship with us. And that relationship eventually will lead on to him giving us things to do for him, you know. So we serve him and we cooperate with him and we flow out of a relationship. What we have to be careful is not to do anything for the relationship, because the relationship already exists in God through Christ. That's our relationship. It's ours. We just have to flow from that relationship so that it grows deeper and more real and more in tune, so that it's not as clouded or as foggy. And that just comes through spending time. And it's the same in any relationship. The more you spend time with someone, the more you get to know them, the more you pick up their body language, the more you pick up the inflections in their voices, the more you get to read their minds, if you like. I mean, I know what my wife is going to say before she says it lots of times, because we've spent a lot of years together, and I'm sensitive to some of the things that I can see when I see certain expressions on her face, you know. And it's the same with God. The more we spend time with him, the more we get attuned to him, and we can feel and know, you know. The one thing with God is he's always in a good mood, and he always smiling, and he always loves us, you know. So everything comes out of that in him, and there's never any punishment with God. It's all, he may train us or equip us or disciple us, and that might mean actually showing us an area that needs correction or needs changing, but he does that because he loves us, because he's got his best desires for our lives. So he will reveal those things as fathers do to their children, as mothers do to their children, to show them, hey, that's not such a good way of thinking, you know, but it's not a punishment with it, it's just love. So yeah, it all flows out of relationship, but that will grow and develop the more time we spend with him. So, yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Well, I have a question, but maybe Kadeen or Hilda would like to ask something.
Okay, go ahead, Maya.
I heard your podcast yesterday night, and you were talking about five rivers. And could you say something more about those?
Yeah, sure. A lot of heaven and a lot of heavenly experiences are quite symbolic around things that we see. And so Revelation 22 talks about the river of life, which is flowing from the throne of God, and we learn that when we read scriptures like John 4, we drink of living water. That living water comes into us as a wellspring of water, a life, an engagement with that. And so they are things that help us to engage. And so when I've been in heaven, I've had lots of engagements around rivers and around waterfalls and around pools and different things like that, which is how God has spoken to me. And so, but in the Bible, you can find there are different rivers mentioned. There's the river of life. There's a river of fire. There's also a river of the Spirit. And so there are different rivers that are mentioned. So when I went into heaven the very first time, or the first series of engagements in heaven, really, God started to speak to me about the need to not just have one encounter with the basic things of our salvation, but to have ongoing encounters with God so that they got deeper. And so in Ezekiel 47, where it talks about the river that's flowing from under the throne and comes out through the threshold of the temple, it says it starts off ankle deep, and then it gets knee deep, and then waist deep, and then it's so deep that you have to swim in it. And that really is an illustration that in our Christian life, the things that we experience initially have deeper experiences and revelation to come. So we get born again in an encounter with God in which we repent and ask him to forgive us, or we ask him to come into our lives, whichever way we did, and initially something happens. It's like our spirit becomes alive to God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come and live within our spirit as the realm of the kingdom within us. And that actually takes place, which is fantastic. It's awesome. It opens up to a relationship with God. But actually, that's just the beginning. Our salvation is an ongoing experience of that, which gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And so the river of life, which when we initially drink it, it's like we are receiving salvation. It comes in us a wellspring of life, it says in John chapter 4, which we can continually partake of. Now, if that initially is just that sort of flow, which is ankle deep, and that's all we think our salvation is going to be, then we remain at that level, and people can be at that level for years, thinking, well, that is it. I've received salvation. I'm saved. I've got my insurance, fire insurance policy, now I'm going to go to heaven. But they don't pursue it anymore. And so God actually wants us to go deeper into that river and to take that river deeper into us. And so, you know, what we received, you know, another illustration would be, anyone who's been married, you had a wedding day. So you had an event where you became married on your wedding day. It was a special day, which was great. But actually, that is not your marriage. That's just the start of your marriage. If after that day you said, oh, well, we're not going to live each other anymore. We're not going to see each other. We've had our wedding. That's it. Great. We'll keep in touch, you know, but that's it. Then you would not really grow into what a marriage is all about. And it's the same with our relationship with God. You know, our salvation is just the start of an ongoing deepening relationship. And so the first river is that river of life which flows out of heaven, which we can engage in, but we can go back to that river over and over and over again as the source of life to experience the deeper depths of relationship that would mean. And ultimately, that river talks about it flowing out and bringing life wherever it goes. And so within us, we don't want to contain the river. We want, as in John 7, it to become rivers of living water that flow out of our innermost being around us. Hence, salvation then is something that we can release to others so others receive salvation, because it's flowing through us from that river that we've experienced, which we're then giving away so that other people can also experience it. So it's flown and grown so that it then is deeper and deeper and deeper until it's at that place where it's flowing around us and creating salvation around us. And that's just one aspect of salvation. Another aspect of salvation is healing. And so when we receive Jesus as our Savior, if you like, and we enter into that salvation, salvation also means healing, it means wholeness, it means provision, it means protection, it means deliverance. So when we first get saved, our spirit becomes alive with God, but our soul still needs restoration and salvation. So it needs to be restored, made whole, healed in every different way. So again, what we received initially as a first encounter, we can go back deeper and deeper and deeper until we're actually living in fullness of health. And our soul is restored and made whole, and we're living in peace and wholeness. Then again, we can release that peace and wholeness around our lives to minister to others that peace and wholeness that we've received. So there's just lots and lots of illustrations of that. And that's just one river. You know, another aspect of rivers is when you get baptized. So we're in baptism, you go under the water and you take down that old nature with you, and you come up out of the water in resurrection life, and that old nature is dead. Now, that's great. And our baptism, depending on whether we did it and how much faith we applied to, or whether we knew what we were doing when we got baptized, will determine how powerful and how effective that was in our life. So don't see our baptism as a one-off experience. See it as something we can go back to and revisit over and over again to get deeper experiences of what it means to be dead to sin, to be dead to our old nature, because it says in Romans 6, to reckon ourselves dead, to present our members as instruments of righteousness rather than unrighteousness. So there's a whole process in which, yes, our old nature died, but it also says put on the new nature, put on the new self. So again, you can go back into that experience of baptism and get deeper and deeper revelation and a personal encounter with it to bring us into wholeness and into a relationship. The river of the Spirit. We get baptized in the Spirit, and that often opened up maybe the gift of tongues, or it maybe opened up gift of prophecy, or we get some of the spiritual gifts begin to function. Now that's just the ankle deep water that we come into. As we go back into that experience and we go back into that river that's flowing from the throne of God, the river of the Spirit. We go into the relationship with the Holy Spirit that again engages the flow of the Spirit of life through us. So again, we get not just spiritual gifts, but we get our spirit beginning to function in the gateways of the Spirit. So reverence, fear of the Lord, faith, hope, intuition, revelation, they all begin to flow because we are getting a deeper revelation of what the Holy Spirit and our spirit do when they function together and flow together. And so there's different illustrations of that. The river of fire. The river of fire, you know, we got baptized in the Holy Spirit and with fire, it says, but most of us never really encountered the fire. You know, our baptism in the river, in the Spirit, really was about spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues. But when it comes to the river of fire, that's about transformation, it's about purification, refining, it's about passion, it's about zeal, it's about the fire of God in us. So there's an initial experience where we may get touched by God and there's a transformation that takes place. We can go back over into that river over and over again. Deeper levels of transformation. So those rivers really are illustrations. And what God showed me is that we have them available here in our meetings, that they're flowing out of heaven like waterfalls. And anybody can step into one of those rivers whenever they want to engage at a deeper level with God. And you get the river of grace, the river of glory, which, you know, is about engagement. You know, the river of grace is about engaging there with the throne of grace and having grace operating in our life as God's divine enabling power that touches us and flows through us. River of glory is where we get baptized into the Father, which is another experience of, you know, we get engaged with Jesus in our baptism, the Holy Spirit in baptism of the Holy Spirit, but actually we need to also be baptized into the Father, you know, because when we get baptized, it says be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so there are actual places of engagement where you can engage with the Father at a deeper level, so that brings us into sonship. And so, you know, and so that's a river which is goes deeper and deeper, where we're in sonship and in a revelation of sonship. So those things are just flowing around us, and by faith we can engage them. And you know, there's a scripture I think in Psalms that says, you know, there's a river that's flowing that makes glad the city of God. And so there's a sense where that is a river of joy. You know, particularly when it comes to the baptism of the Spirit, there should be joy that comes with it. Well, we need to engage in that continually to see joy, and therefore when we act in praise, and we can praise in all circumstances, and we can exhibit joy independent of the circumstances around us, because we're connected up to that source of joy, that source of peace, that source of life, that source of love, that source of mercy, that source of grace, because they all flow out of the rivers that are flowing out of heaven, and they become our source of everything. And it helps sometimes to just get a picture, hey, I can go back into that river. I want to go deeper into that river, you know, and so that river is deeper in me. And so you can use the sort of the analogies and the illustrations of it about rivers and about stuff like that, which helps, I think, you know. And I look to engage in rivers all the time because it's where life is, you know. So, okay. Okay, any other questions?
Yes, but where you start is the river of life.
Yeah.
You go to all the further connections, or you just jump in healing, or you jump in the spirit, or you pray. Is the best way to start in the river of life?
Yeah. I mean, the river of life is a good place to start, because we've got some, you can find some scriptures around it, and you can find that they're, you know, flowing from the tree of life, the river of life is like it's crystals clear, it says, and it's not water as such, because it's the fabric of heaven, and it contains a sort of a crystal nature, but also it contains scrolls, which are the leaves, which are for the healing, and different things within it. So it's a good place to start with salvation. But you know, if you've been baptized in water, if you've been baptized in the Spirit, if you've had any encounter with that, then you can go into any of the rivers and just say, "I want a deeper experience." You know, I want a deeper experience of that which is flowing out of heaven, which is God's desire for the fullness for me to encounter. And so, yeah, jump into any river. And if you've not been in one, then, you know, ask God to unveil that. You know, I think most people get baptized in water, get baptized in the Spirit, get baptized into salvation. Sometimes the baptism of fire is a different one, but most people have been through transformational purification or refining in some way if they've been a Christian for a while. So you can just go back into that and actually maybe see it in a deeper way, that you want that fire flowing through you as well as you surrendering and stepping into that river of fire. And again, it doesn't burn us. It's a consuming fire which consumes all the stuff that makes us pure, you know. And so like with gold, you heat gold up, you put fire to it to get all the impurities to rise to the surface, so they scoop them off, so that the whole surface of gold can be like a mirror. And the same with us. When our lives become a mirror to reflect the glory of God, then we begin to manifest God around us and through us in different ways. And so, yeah, you can start there, but I would just go with whichever you feel you want to engage with, and just look to say, I want a deeper relationship. I want to experience everything that belongs to me. You know, and it's like in our lives, we have foundational experiences which we build on. You know, and it talks about in Hebrews different foundational experiences. And baptisms is one of those foundational experiences. And there are lots of different baptisms that talks about in the Bible. And these are places where we can be baptized deeper into the things of God and into a relationship with Him. And they just help as an illustration, really. You know, I've been in those rivers in heaven, so I know they are real dimensional places, but they have spiritual applications for us to engage with here, to change and transform our lives and to bring us into the fullness of who we are as God's children. So, yeah. Okay. Anyone else like to ask anything?
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Well, 1.5 years ago, I was very sick.
Yeah.
But I'm alive, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, I want a heaven on earth. I want not go to die, but I want to heaven on earth, because in the Bible says that heaven on earth is real, it's here." And I have learned the teaching about what Ian creates and get care. And you know these people?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
And the court, to the court.
Yeah.
That's a short things. Sometimes I heard it and I said to the Lord, I don't be patient enough, because I want more.
Yep.
And sometimes sometimes I see something, but most of the time not. It's in step in faith. But I want more, and I want to live here in heaven.
Yep.
Because you are there, and you have something, you have seen something about heaven. Me too, one time. And I don't know what the question is here.
Oh.
Yes. Can you tell me something more about the heavenly? Because I love it so much. I had cancer, breast cancer.
Yeah.
And I had three operations, because the third operation, I had a bleeding, and it was 50-50. Now, more 20% that I was staying alive. But I am here. And I said to the Lord, yeah, because I have two children, and I am so grateful to be here. But I said, Lord, I want to go to, I want to go 80, 90 years old, and then I live here on earth in spirit, because I'm a spirit person.
Okay. Well, I would encourage you to be hungry, but don't be impatient. There's a difference between pursuing the desires of our heart and trying to make something happen and strive in the wrong way for it. And so everything in heaven, when we connect up in the spiritual realm, comes out of a place of rest. And that place of rest is key to all spiritual activity. Because God desires us to be in a place where we're not anxious, worrying, in those things, but we're at peace, in a place of rest, and operating from the seat of rest. So we're within our own lives. You know, there can be a storm going around us, but actually we're still at peace. We're still able to praise, we're still full of joy, we're still full of love in spite of the circumstances and situations. That allows those circumstances and situations to be changed. Because our praise in difficult situations is what brings victory. Like Paul and Silas were locked up in prison, and they didn't moan or groan or complain. They just praised God, and they sang and spiritual songs and hymns to God, and an angel was released and opened the earthquake, and it opened the doors, and they sort of came out of that place because of their attitude of heart. And so even to encounter the things of the Spirit, it works much better when we're relaxed, because technically everything operates from the right side of our brain, in that creative part where our imagination is. And our imagination receives blood, and the brain receives blood flow to the right side much more when we're relaxed. The left side of our brain, which is the more cognitive, thinking, trying to work things out and problem solve, works much more when we need to do that. And so the blood flows to that when we begin to try and analyze, function, do that. And so literally to learn to meditate and to relax around God's truth, around God's word, fixing our eyes on Jesus, begin to focus on him, enter that place of rest and peace, really does enable our communication with him to open up and to flow. And so when we're impatient or we're trying to strive and make something happen, the very nature makes it less likely to happen because we're not at rest. So being at rest means relaxing. It means resting in our relationship with him, not striving for our relationship. And from there, that hunger and desire for more can be outworked from that place of being at rest in God. And you know, and Jesus talked to me a lot when I first engaged with him about this place of rest, because it's so important. And it's like the eye of a hurricane, which is the center of a hurricane, is at complete rest. It's completely still and peaceful, in spite of the fact that 200 mile an hour wings might be whizzing around, but it's totally peaceful in the eye. And God wants us to live from that place of peace and rest in him. And we do that by being yoked to him. Matthew 11 says, all those who were weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so when we're yoked to him, he carries the weight of the things in our life. So he carries our griefs and our sorrows. He carries the things that would weigh us down. But for him to carry them, we have to hand them over to him. And so it says, cast all your burdens on the Lord, because he cares for you. And so there's an act where of casting our burdens on him that brings us into that place of rest where we're trusting him to outwork the situations in our lives rather than us trying to outwork them ourselves. Because if we try and do things in our own strength, if we try and strive to change something, make something happen, then we get worn out and weary really quickly. If we trust it to him and cast it on him, then we're light of that. We're not carrying the responsibility of it. We're not weighed down with the weight of expectation of trying to make something happen or do something. God knows the desires of our heart. You know, we don't have to try and prove to him by trying to do something to show him the desires of our heart. We just need to relax and rest in him and cast all our burdens on him and just spend time in his presence. So I love to use Psalm 23 as a scripture to meditate in, to engage with God. In the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So what am I going to want for? Any of those things that it says in Matthew 6 that we can get anxious over, whether we're well, whether we've got money, whether we've got a house, whether we've got clothes, whether we've got food, the things of life, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all those things he will give to us. All the things that we need, he'll give to us if we seek first and trust him. And learning to trust him means being still and know that I'm God. So if I really want to know that he's God in my life, I need to be still. Cease striving, another version says. Be still and allow him to outwork those things. And then from that place, it's so much easier to hear him, get his direction, get if there is anything I need to do, because he gives me the wisdom and the direction, then I'm going to hear it much easier. It's going to be a much easier thing to be in a place of rest where in that relationship with him, I trust him to outwork all those things. You know, and it's a wonderful place to be because I'm not carrying responsibility any longer. He carries that. I just need to be yoked to him, and he'll lead me where he wants me to go. You know, it's like the symbolism of a yoke was in those days a yoke of oxen, where they hooked up oxen to a plow, or they hooked up oxen to a cart or something that was going to pull something along. And what they would often do is they would hook up an experienced ox to a less experienced ox, and the experienced ox would take the lead. So he would direct where the plow was going, and the other ox would just go along because there was a stronger one. And that's what it is with us. We yoke ourselves to Jesus, him being the strength of our life, him being the source of our life, him being the one who's going to carry the weight of our life. Then we don't get weary and we don't get heavy laden, because we're at that place where we trust him to do it rather than us trying to do it or accomplish it in our own strength. Does that sort of make sort of sense? And so, you know, in our situations where we're hungry and thirsty for God, we just need to relax in relationship and rest in that, and he will take us to places that we couldn't get to by trying. You know, and so, you know, if I want to step into the realms of heaven, all I need to do is relax, and I can begin to maybe think about Revelation 4:1. Okay, there's a door standing open in heaven. Or I could think about Genesis 28:1, 28, and where it talks about, you know, the Bethel being the ladder going up from earth to heaven, Jesus standing in the doorway of heaven there, or God standing there. And I can think, okay, now I'm a house of God. Now I'm a gateway of heaven. I've got access there. And so I can use the Bible as a doorway to these experiences just by resting and meditating in it, so that it opens up that realm for me to step into it, rather than trying to do some sort of formula or if I do this, I do that. Praying in tongues does help a lot, because that just gets our spirit tuned in. So when I'm meditating in the Word, I tune my spirit in by praying in tongues, usually, you know, on the inside, or I get my spirit praying in tongues, so that my spirit is engaged, but I'm not trying to actively make something happen. I'm just resting in, I will just meditate in this scripture, I will just meditate in Jesus, I will fix my eyes on Him, and then I will see Him. He's going to take me by the hand, and He'll lead me where He wants me to go. I just have to follow on, because I've said I'm going to follow Him. You know, so it's sort of another way of putting it is, you deny yourself, take up the cross, which is the victory and my relationship in Christ, and then I can follow Him. But first, I have to stop trying to get there my own way and allow Him to take me His way. And He will. You know, He will. Sometimes it takes some time, but the more we relax, the easier it gets. You know, and, you know, God's desire is we would live in wholeness. And if we're in Christ, then we are in wholeness in Him. And so it's learning to surrender, to wait. You know, those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So I just have to wait on Him. So I just come, and I want to come into intimacy with Him, and then my strength will be renewed. You know, if I want to know God, I just need to be still. You know. So, yeah. Okay, probably got time for one more thing.
Maybe just a quick stepping in. Could that be possible?
Yeah, we can do that. That is something we can do. Yeah, I think it would be good to just follow the pathway of relationship, which is the key pathway to intimacy, and we can just step into the garden in our own hearts and engage with God there. So yeah, let's do that. What I'd encourage you again, just to relax. Just to close your eyes, just begin to think about Jesus and His presence, and just want you to think about Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him, and I will dine with him." And within your own spirit, there's the doorway that Jesus and the realm of the kingdom are behind, and the handle of that door is on your side. So you can reach out to that door. Just picture a door in your imagination. Just think about a door. Just think about that door being the door into your spirit, and on the other side of that door is the very presence of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And they're wanting intimacy with you. So just reach out and open the door. And as you open the door, you sense the presence of God. Just flowing around you, just sense His presence enveloping you, sense His love, sense that intimacy. He loves you, He affirms you. He's speaking to your heart right now, telling you how precious you are to Him, how valuable and how much worth you are, that you're more precious to Him than gold, than silver and precious stones, that you are the most precious thing to Him. Just sense His words washing over you, surrounding you. Feel His presence with you, affirming you as His children. Sense His pleasure in spending time with you. Just hear Him whisper gently to you that you are safe with Him. Now just allow Jesus to take you by the hand and just welcome Him to the garden of your heart, as your heart is described as a garden, the river of living water that was flowing from the door that you've opened is all around you. I just want you to, first of all, just begin to drink of that river. Just start to drink of the living water that's flowing from heaven to your spirit. Just drink it. Just drink, feel the life, the energy, as that water is in you, as you are in that water. Now you can just flow with that river as it flows into the garden of your heart. Just flow into that river, walk with it. Now Jesus wants to take you to that place within your heart where you can be intimate with Him, where you can feel free, where you can enjoy His presence. It's a place of joy and intimacy. But it's a place where you can just rest with Him. Now He wants you to lie down in the grass that's in the garden of your heart. The Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside quiet waters. So in the garden of your heart right now, you're lying down in a green pasture. There's the quiet waters of the river of life flowing. Jesus is sat there as your shepherd. Your head is resting on Him. Just sense His love for you, His desires for you. Just begin to talk to Him. Just begin to cast all your burdens on Him, all your concerns right now, all the things you may have been carrying, all the weight of responsibility or expectation, maybe in work, maybe in finance, maybe in the home, maybe in health. Just cast them all onto Him, because He cares for you and you shall not want. Just feel the lightness, what it is to rest. Just begin to share with Him your heart. Talk to Him. Just sense Him talking back to you as you converse. He's set a table before you. So there's a big picnic blanket. with lots of food and things you can partake of. In spite of all the things that are going on in your life, this is a place of rest where you can just feed. There's truth. There's revelation. There's promises that are there before you. You can reach out and you can take, you can eat a promise of God for your life. As God just releases a promise to you that you can place within that place deep in your heart. A truth about the thoughts He has about you, that how much He loves you. A revelation about your destiny. Just receive those things from Him. Now Jesus, He just takes you gently by the hand and He just leads you to a place within the waters that are flowing, and there's a gentle waterfall that's just cascading down into these quiet waters, and He invites you just to enter in. Go into the river of life. Just see what it feels to have that life flowing through you and in you, and you're in it. As you're there, begin to look and see if there's anything within the river that He wants you to find. Just sense and feel that river around you, energizing you, bringing healing and wholeness and life from heaven into the very core of your being. And just sense the freedom within the garden of your heart to be creative. And you can release creativity as you begin to think of the garden and what you'd like to be planted there, what you'd like to have in the garden of your heart. And just think of a secret place a special place that you would like to have, where you can sit with Jesus, where you can sit with the Father, where you can converse with the Holy Spirit. That special place. Think of the flowers. Think of that which is around. Think of a place that you would like, a secret place within your own heart, intimacy with Him. And as you think of that, allow it just to form around you. As you begin to creatively release, as you are the image of God, to grow and to develop and cultivate and tend the garden of your heart. Just feel at rest and at peace. Now from that place you can just step back, allow your spirit to come back into this realm and take back with you the experiences that they're yours around you. Bring that peace with you. Okay. Yeah, and I'd encourage you in things like that, again, just revisit those places in your own time with God. Just allow that to develop as a pathway that you can learn as you practice, and Jesus will start to take you by the hand and lead you into places, and you know, you can follow that river back through the first love gateway back into the realms of heaven. You know, you can engage in the river of life there and maybe do exercises like that another time.